Welcome to The Word Made Plain with Senior Pastor Tony Clark of Calvary Chapel Newport News in Virginia. Currently, Pastor Tony is teaching a study in the book of Deuteronomy. Please open your Bible to Deuteronomy chapter 1, verses 19 through 46.
The Word of God is just so good. Just good. Yep. Yeah, amen. All right, let's dive in. Let's open up in prayer first. Father, thank you again that you have brought us to this place here, Lord, to sit at your feet and now to hear from you. Lord, we pray that you would anoint our ears to hear what the Spirit is going to say to us this evening. Thank you, Lord, for this time. Thank you for your people. I pray your anointing to speak a prophetic word to your people, a word in season. Lord, for them to hear today in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 1. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 1. We're going to be looking at verses 19 to 46, so we're going to finish up this chapter. And the title of this message is Farewell Speech Part 2. Farewell Speech Part 2. Now, in Part 1 of this farewell speech, we saw how Moses was addressing the Israelites who were about to go into the promised land. And seeing that Moses gave the law of God to their parents who died in the wilderness, this new generation needed to know what God requires of them. So the law is given a second time, which is the meaning of Deuteronomy. It's called second law. And Moses told them that God said in verse 6, you have been here at this mountain long enough. Go into the land that I am giving you. And finally, we saw how Moses told them in verse 15 about the leadership that was set up for them. Leaders of thousands and leaders of hundreds and fifties and tens and officers for their tribes. Now we pick up the story in verses 19 to 21. It says, so we departed from Horeb and went through all that great and terrible wilderness, which you saw on the way to the mountains of the Amorites, as the Lord our God had commanded us. Then we came to Kadesh Barnea. And I said to you, you have come to the mountains of the Amorites, which the Lord our God is giving us. Look, the Lord your God has set the land before you. Go up and possess it, as the Lord God of your fathers has spoken to you. Do not fear or be discouraged. Now, in these verses, we see that the Israelites departed Mount Horeb and went through the wilderness, traveling north to get to the southern part of the promised land, which is Kadesh Barnea, a journey that is normally an 11-mile journey. And verse 19 gives us that information. And I was struck by the description of the wilderness. This is what struck me. The description of the wilderness in verse 19, it is called the great and terrible wilderness. That struck me. See, the wilderness experience can be great and terrible because it is a place we end up when we are disobedient to the Lord. The Israelites just spent 40 years there for their disobedience to the Lord. The wilderness is also the place God uses to train and to develop his people just before he uses them in a great and mighty way. Oh, we know Moses spent 40 years there when he killed an Egyptian when he was still in Egypt. As many scholars believe, he was being trained to be the next Pharaoh, but he killed an Egyptian. And he had to flee Egypt, and he spent 40 years tending to his father-in-law's sheep. And God used this experience to humble Moses and make him fit to lead his people out of Egypt. Well, it worked, because when God told Moses to go back to Egypt to lead his people out, He was so broken and so humble that he felt that he was inadequate to do this task, and he started to make excuses. Oh, finally, he told God, you know, hey, God, just get somebody else. And this is remarkable to me because 40 years earlier, when he killed the Egyptian, Stephen's commentary on this in Acts chapter 7, verse 25 says, when he did this, killed the Egyptian, he thought that the Israelites would have understood that God would deliver them by his hand. But this verse goes on to say, but they did not understand. See, Moses thought that he had to show them that he was the deliverer in his own power, in his own strength. Oh, keep in mind, he was the deliverer, but he was not ready to deliver God's people, because I believe that Moses would have taken the credit. You remember, if Moses was being trained to be the next Pharaoh, then Moses, the Bible says in Acts 7 that he was trained in all the wisdom of Egypt. He was trained in military conquest. He was trained to be the next Pharaoh so he would lead the army. So he had all the military. He went to the military university, so to speak, and got trained. And so he felt, I am equipped and ready to lead God's people. So he saw two, you know, Israelites going at it, and you know, and all of a sudden he tried to break them up and said, no, you guys are brothers. And then one said, are you going to kill one of us like you did that Egyptian? And Moses said, I got to get out of here. And that's when he went to the desert, went to the wilderness. And there God had to train him, had to break him, because he thought he was ready then. And he was not ready to lead God's people. Oh, he might have been ready to lead man, but he was not ready to lead God's people. And he thought that the people understand. You know, look at what Moses did. He killed an Egyptian for us. And the Bible said they didn't understand, because he was trying to do it in his own strength and his own power. And God had to break him. So to the desert you go, Moses, to be broken and humbled and made a vessel that God could use. Oh, the same thing is true for us. Don't get it twisted. The same thing is true for us. God wants to use us, but we must be humble and broken. And the process he uses is the wilderness experience, the desert experience, where things are dry, where things seem desolate, where God seems distant, like he has abandoned us. And it is during this time of isolation that he is breaking us of our pride and breaking us of our ego and breaking us of our ambition. Here's the thing that I love about this. When is it that God gave the apostle John the book of Revelation? When he was exiled, isolated on the island of Patmos. And that's where God gave him that awesome book, the book of Revelation. Now, God did the same thing with the apostle Paul. Oh, you know, you understand his background when he was Saul the Pharisee. He was trained and taught at the feet of the greatest scholar of the day, Gamaliel. And he excelled in Judaism faster than his peers. And he persecuted the church and imprisoned Christians, thinking he was doing God's work. And God got a hold of him and soundly saved him. But before he can use old Paul to the degree that he desired to use him, he sent him to the Arabian desert, according to Galatians 1. Verses 13 through 17. And it was there that God broke him and spoke to him in a way that we now enjoy 1/3 of our New Testament because of it. So the wilderness can be great because of the length of time we may have to spend there. And it can be terrible It can be terrible from our perspective because of how it breaks us of our pride and our selfishness and our self-centeredness. And we don't like to be broken, but if we want to be used by God, this process is necessary. Then Moses told them in verse 21 to go and possess the land that God has given to them and do not fear or be dismayed. That stood out to me. Fear and discouragement will always keep us from moving out into what God has called us to do. Fear and discouragement will keep us from moving into some new area God is calling us to go. The fear of the unknown, the fear of rejection, or for me, what plagued me for many years is the fear of failure. Fear will keep us from moving out. This is why Proverbs 29:25 says the fear of man brings a snare, but whoever trusts in the Lord shall be safe. The fear of man brings a snare. That word snare in the Hebrew speaks of a trap a hunter sets for his prey. And what fear does, it traps us. It keeps us from moving and moving out and doing what God has called us to do. So fear would trap us. The fear of man, this is why 2 Timothy 1:7 says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love, and watch this, and of a sound mind. In other words, when we are afraid, we are not of sound mind. Or fear will cause us, don't miss this, fear will cause us to make irrational decisions. Never make major decisions when you are afraid. Oh, David said in Psalm 56, verse 3, when I'm afraid, I would trust in you. I would trust in you. Discouragement would also keep us from moving out into what God has called us to do. We are discouraged by the task, or we're discouraged by how large the task is. And on top of that, what it will require of us. And because people get discouraged at the enormity of the task, they don't move out because they're discouraged. They say, I'm going to have to give them this much time. I'm going to have to do this. I'm going to have to give up this. And they get discouraged. And this is what caused their parents to not go into the promised land 40 years earlier. And now Moses is saying, don't let this happen to you. He's giving them this speech. Said, don't let this happen to you. I've seen it with your parents. I know the fruit doesn't fall far from the tree, but I'm letting you know, don't let this happen to you. Oh, look at verses 22 to 25. It says, and every one of you came near to me and said, let us send men before us and let them search out the land for us and bring back word to us on the way by which we should go up and of the cities into which we shall go. The plan pleased me well, so I took 12 of your men, one man from each tribe, and they departed and went up into the mountains and came to the valley of Eshcol and spied it out. And they also took some of the fruit of the land and in their hands and brought it down to us. And they brought back word to us saying, it is a good land which the Lord our God is giving you. Nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Now watch this. These verses are very interesting to me because it shows us that it was the people who wanted to send spies into the land and not something God wanted to do. Even though Numbers chapter 13, if you remember when we were in Numbers chapter 13, verses 1 and 2, it says the Lord said, send spies into the land. Now watch this. I believe that the people, because of their lack of faith, wanted evidence that this land was truly a land flowing with milk and honey. So God was like, okay, you want evidence? Oh, okay, we'll go ahead and send your spies in there. But it wasn't God's original plan. They wanted to, because they needed evidence. They needed proof. Now, the question is, did the evidence they brought back produce faith in them? No. Even though they brought back a grapevine so large that it had to be carried on a pole between two men. The evidence didn't produce faith because Paul would later write in 2 Corinthians 5:7, for we walk by faith and not by sight. And if we have to see everything first before we believe it, that is not faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Hebrews 11:6 tells us. To show you that evidence doesn't produce faith, I want to read again verses 26 and 27. Notice, nevertheless, you would not go up, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. And you complained in your tents and said, because the Lord hates us, he has brought us out of the land of Egypt to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us. Now, even after the evidence of the grapes, they had to carry this vine between two men, showing that the land, or proving that the land was truly a land flowing with milk and honey. Moses said in verse 26, even after seeing the evidence, you still would not go up and go into the land, but rebelled against the command of the Lord your God. Then he said in verse 27 that I had to stop and I had to pause and think about this. And then he said in verse 27, and you complained in your tents and you said, because the Lord hates us. What a statement to make. When I was reading that, I just said, wow, what a statement, because the Lord hates us. These are the kind of things we say when we are afraid or discouraged. And this is happening, you know. I can't believe they said, because the Lord hates us. They said, these things are happening to us because God hates us. Now, do you see why I said 2 Timothy 1:7 is true? That God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Fear causes us to verbalize outrageous statements like, because the Lord hates us. A person saying this is not of a sound mind. I can tell you that. But here's the thing. I'm just confessing. I've been here before. I was discouraged at what was going on at the church some years back. And I would mumble statements like this under my breath or loud enough to where my wife can hear it. And I can tell you I was not of a sound mind because I didn't know what was going to happen. I didn't know what was going to happen here. I didn't know what was going to happen to us, our family. I didn't know what was going to happen, so I started saying outrageously stupid statements. The Lord hates us. Are you kidding me? He sent his son, his only begotten son, to die on a cruel cross for us. But when we're afraid or discouraged, we make outrageous, crazy statements like, the Lord hates me. Are you kidding me? I mean, if he hated you, he'd just wiped you out and sent you to hell immediately. But we make these statements. This is why he says God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. We're not of a sound mind when we're afraid. We're not of a sound mind when we're discouraged. And we say the dumbest things. We say the dumbest things about God. We say the dumbest things to the people around us. Just dumb statements. God, the Lord hates me. You kidding me? And so this is the kind of thing we make. But fear causes us to do this. Fear causes us to do this. And I have to admit, I've been here. Moses will continue to review with this generation what he dealt with in dealing with their parents' generation. Look at verses 28 to 33. He says, where can we go up? Or brethren have discouraged our hearts, saying, the people are greater and taller than we. The cities are great and fortified up to heaven. Moreover, we have seen the sons of the Anakim here. And then I said to you, do not be terrified or afraid of them. The Lord your God, who goes before you, he will fight for you according to all he did for you in Egypt before your eyes. And then he said in verse 31, that in the wilderness where you saw how the Lord your God carried you as a man carries his son, and in all the way that you went until you came to this place. Yet, for all of that, you did not believe the Lord your God, who went in the way before you to search out a place for you, to pitch your tents, to show you the way you should go in the fire by night and a cloud by day. Now, in these verses, Moses tells this new generation that their fathers, the 10 spies who went into the land, came back and discouraged the hearts of the people. I've mentioned this before, and let me just say it again. Never, ever be the source of discouraging the hearts from someone doing what God has called them to do. I know a woman right now that she won't come to church because her husband doesn't want her to. Or she won't come to church like she wants to because her husband doesn't want her to do, want her to come. Let me tell you something. See, I find that fascinating. I find it fascinating. Let me tell you why. Because out of all things, that is the thing you're going to choose to be submissive to? You book that man 24/7. And now that is what you're going to call yourself submitting to when he's telling you to do something that's going to be contrary to God? Now all of a sudden you're the little submissive little wife. Are you kidding me? You got to be joking me. Everything else is like, oh, I ain't doing that. But now all of a sudden he's telling you to do something that has to do with obeying God. Now all of a sudden, well, you know, the Bible said the wife should be submissive. That's what you choose to submit when it's going to cause you to disobey God? I'm blown away by it. Never be the source of someone disobeying God. Those 10 spies came back and discouraged the hearts of the people. Never be the one to discourage the hearts of your teenager, your children. We going to church today? No, we ain't going. I want to go. I don't feel like going. Yeah, we go next time. Ooh. Be that your children, be that a spouse. Don't ever be the source of discouraging the hearts of someone who wants to obey God in some area. And I'm telling you, beware. If you've ever been the source of discouraging the hearts of someone who wants to do the things of God and you discourage their hearts. I'm telling you. Oh, you know, we used to say growing up, hey, let me step back because I don't want that lightning to strike me. Beware if you are the source of discouraging someone who wants to obey the Lord. That has to do with coming to church. That has to do with giving to the Lord. It has to do with bringing your children up in the things of God. If you're the source to discourage someone, woe be unto you. I'm just making it very plain as I can make it. And so here, Moses tells them that these 10 spies came back and discouraged the hearts of the people, and only Joshua and Caleb came back with a good report. And I believe that it was Joshua and Caleb who brought back the large vine of grapes for the people to see. 10 of the 12 spies talked about the largeness of the giants instead of the largeness of their God. All you got to do is just ask yourself this question. What do you magnify or make large? Your problems or your God? Listen to your speech the next time you're afraid or discouraged. Are you speaking words that magnify your God, or do you magnify your problems and talk about how insurmountable they are? Whenever you do that, you make your problems larger than you make God. And the last time I checked, the psalm said, magnify the Lord with me and let us, you know. And so the Bible talks about magnifying the Lord.
If the Word Made Plain has been a source of inspiration and encouragement to you, why not consider becoming a Word Made Plain giving partner to keep this listener-supported program on the air? As a giving partner, you join forces with Calvary Chapel Newport News' Kingdom Vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can make your tax-deductible gift online at calvarynn.org or send your gift of any amount to 15553 Warwick Boulevard, Newport News, Virginia 23608. And receive a gift from Calvary Chapel Newport News as our thank you. In addition to your financial support, we ask that you pray for the Word Made Plain broadcast, that it touches hearts and generates change in the lives of people around the world. We pray you've been blessed by God's Word today and hope you'll tune in next time to hear the Word Made Plain.